We begin, as we desire to begin our worship services, with a claim about our faith taken directly from God's Word, and this one from Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, and then verses 13 through 14, where the Apostle wrote, and we proclaim, "Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." God's word for today is from the letter of James, chapter 1, beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 20. "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a person's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It is a blessing to me and to Daleville Christian Church that people find the sermons on the church's website. It could also be a blessing if you who hear a sermon would visit worship at Daleville Christian Church. We have one worship service on Sunday mornings at 9:30. I am a real pastor of a real church. That is the only reason I preach. Sermons and messages are to be the Word of God, its interpretation for the benefit of the hearers and to God's glory. The letter of James is practical. For some people, the letter of James was too practical. Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant Reformation, questioned whether James really belonged in the Bible. Why would Martin Luther say such a thing? Because Jesus is never discussed in James's letter. James mentions Jesus as brother and the recipients of the letter as believers of Jesus, but that is it. No other mention is made of the Lord or the Messiah, the Christ. Be that as it may, James remained in the Bible, and many have found James a very practical book of the Bible, and we will see some of that today. We might want to appreciate that the letter begins with a discussion of testing, of trial, and temptations. So, can believers be tested? Can believers feel tried and tempted? Yes, absolutely. It seems to be, in large part, why the letter was written. Believers to whom the letter was written may have been suffering persecution. They may have been tempted to sin. They may have been tempted to give up their faith under threat of imprisonment or torture or death. James to the rescue. James wants to make clear that God does not provide the tests and that God does not tempt. As another pastor has said much better than I, life itself is a test. We don't need God to test us in this life. Or as the old saying states, opportunity knocks, but temptation leans on the doorbell. But let's talk about temptation. What is temptation? Tempting, to tempt, temptation means to test, to try, to put to the proof. Here's a simple example. You come to the door of the church at night. The church is dark. There is a sign on the door that says the Bible study is canceled. The door is closed. You assume that the door is locked and you are locked out of the church building. But are you locked out of the church building? There is only one way to find out. Test the door. Will the door yield to your tug on it? You are testing the door in the same way we are tested. We may have stated that we are determined, we may appear resolved and unmoved, but will we yield to a pull in another direction? James goes into more detail in verse 14. Each person is tempted, he wrote, when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And other translations can be helpful here. Every person is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed, when he is lured away by his own desire and enticed. Everyone is tempted, drawn away, and enticed by his own lust. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. But notice, it all begins with desire. Now, there's nothing wrong with desire per se. You might desire lunch. That's not a sin. But if you desire to eat 4 triple cheeseburgers, that just might lead to death, as the next verse states. Notice how I stayed away there from any mention of coffee or donuts. That's just smart preaching. Desiring 1 triple cheeseburger may not be temptation. However, temptation begins with desire, so all the believers must be warned about their own desires. Can you trust all of your desires? No. Can you give in to all of your desires? No. Don't do that. But do be wary of your desires. Beware. Perhaps a little contrast with a different religion can help us. Let's talk for a moment about Buddhism. The teachings of Buddhism say that desire is the root of all our problems. Desire keeps us stuck where we are, being pulled in all directions. If we can get rid of our desires, and this is the point of Buddhism, this is where it's all going, to put an end to our desires, pay them no attention, do not attend to any desire, then we may achieve enlightenment. Christianity says you may desire many things. It is not a sin, but beware. Now let's take the 10 commandments, for example. Really just one of the 10 commandments. The 10th commandment, Exodus 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. King James Version. To covet means to desire an unjust gain. It has objects as things a person wants to possess. To want something or want more of something for oneself when you already possess those things. I heard a statement once that was not only true, but helped me remember the idea. It's wrong to covet another person's spouse, but you cannot covet your own spouse. You cannot covet your own spouse because you already possess each other. So if you want to be married to your spouse, it's okay. There is no sin in that. If you want your neighbor's spouse as your spouse, that is forbidden. Now we are in the realm of sin. But have a desire for your own spouse all you want. Now, that doesn't allow anyone to do whatever they want to their spouse or with their spouse, but the desire is not evil, and there is no danger of covetousness or temptation. you and your spouse have to work it out from there. You can work out the details. But the point is this: desire, evil desire, lust, covetousness, comes from within us. It does not come from the Lord. And shall we look at other examples of desire gone wrong? How about this? Am I eating just because I'm bored? Why are you eating? Are you tired? Do you feel a need to be more alert? For driving and alertness, chewing gum is recommended. Mint flavor or cinnamon flavors are more likely to help you keep alert. So why is it you are eating? Check in with your desire, your motivation, or reasons for eating. Would your doctor approve of what it is you're about to eat? Or if you consider how great that ice cream or that donut would taste right now, and you know you need to lose a few pounds, you're starting to run toward temptation. Temptation comes from our desires. Are they evil? Well, why are you going to eat now? For nutrition? Well, then it's okay. Do you need to level your sugar or level your insulin, or do you need to pump up your body's iron? Those can all be very righteous reasons to eat appropriately, but as you may already know, there is so little iron in your average donut. So I need to stop dreaming about donuts before my desires become temptation. But if I do get a donut and eat it, is it a sin? Well, did I eat just one donut? What does that commercial say? You can't eat just one. Oh, that's a commercial for potato chips. Well, it's true for donuts too. One donut may mean I have yielded to temptation, and I'm ever more ready to yield again. I've read there's a thing, I don't remember the actual name, but we could call it resistance fatigue. That is, if I walk into one donut shop, I may use up all my resistance successfully resisting the one donut shop, but I should stay out of donut shops and bakeries the rest of the day and maybe the rest of the week. Unless I've really steeled myself to resist, there's no point in testing myself over and over. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a saying, if you want to prevent slipping back into drinking, stay out of slippery places. It's excellent advice, and Christians, we are not above good and excellent advice. You might recall that Jesus did not go to the devil. The devil came to Jesus. Jesus never did say to Satan, "Bring it on." No, Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Lord, do not lead us to a place or position where our desires may get the best of us and tempt us. I did actually read of a woman who had lost a lot of weight and then she got a job in a bakery. You and I might have guessed that within a short time she'd put all the weight back on. She, however, did not understand how this had happened. It was too difficult for her to put together that if she wanted to lose weight successfully, she might have to quit her job in a bakery and never work in a bakery again. You know the old joke about the man who was trying to lose weight, but that day he was going to have to pass by his favorite bakery, and as he drove, he prayed, "Lord, please don't let there be a parking space in front of the bakery." But when the man arrived at the bakery, there was a parking space right in front of the bakery. As amazing as that story is, the man had failed to mention that he drove around that block 6 times before he found that parking space right in front of the bakery. Friends, if you don't want to slip, stay out of slippery places. And friends, we want to appreciate how frail we can be with regard to temptation and desire. Remember, first book of the Bible, Genesis, Adam and Eve, the one tree from which they were not to eat, the first couple reasoned their desire. Read chapter 3, verse 6 of Genesis. They have reasons for eating of the tree God told them to not eat from. Now, we spent a lot of time on this verse, but it's a key to so much that James is telling us. God is giving us good gifts, James 1:17. James also states this, we should be slow to speak and slow to anger. Verse 19 and 20. For the anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Slow to speak, slow to anger. Because you and I know that the tongue and anger are a dangerous combination. It's been said that angry words are the most acceptable sin in American Christians. And this may be true even when James's book says that anger does not work God's righteousness. Anger does not work God's work. And yet American Christians can employ it regularly, if not daily, and not just being angry, because that's not sinful. It isn't sinful to be angry. Ephesians 4:26 says that. It's what you do with your anger. And putting anger on your tongue is rarely a good idea. Anger can be channeled to some very good work, but it does have to be channeled because anger is power. But if anger explodes, like anything else explosive, people around us usually get hurt. But use that anger to drive us to work for necessary changes. That's good. Anger moved people to outlaw slavery. Anger moved people to protect animals. With the American Society to Prevent Cruelty to Animals. Students against drunk driving, begun by a parent who was angry their child was killed by a drunk driver. Slow to speak, slow to anger. The book of James mentions our tongues five times. Five! The tongue, James states, can be a key indicator of one's faith. James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. If your tongue is wagging but your heart is beating, they are not in sync, is what James is saying. Faithful people want their tongues to express their faithful hearts. What's the blessing we've used to close our service here at Daleville Christian Church? From Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 17 verse. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word, or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. James 3:5, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the next verse, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. In verse 8, of that same chapter 3, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. No human being can tame the tongue. Only God, only our Lord, only by the Holy Spirit's presence can we ever hope to harness words for good. We have a phrase in our language that words can cut a person, and they can. That saying we were taught as children about sticks and stones, words can never hurt me. Well, maybe idle words of another child can't hurt, but the words of a loved one or a significant other or an authority can cut us. The tongue can speak wisdom. James mentions wisdom four times in this letter, chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. Later, James states, all good gifts come from above. Wisdom is of God and from God. And later states, what comes from above? How you know you are being led by the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I don't see anger in that list. I don't see desire in that list. They are not evil, but desire and anger so often fail any test of wisdom. Wisdom which the tongue can speak. James, a practical book, a book for every day. Everyday reminders about life as we live it every day. I finish with one of James's own blessings. Are any among you suffering? They should keep on praying about it. And those who have reason to be thankful should continually sing praises to the Lord. Prayer and praise. Those are two very good uses of our tongues. Amen.